Good morning, Drift Run Church. Who's glad to be here this morning? I'm glad to be here this morning. I'm glad to be a participant in this worship service to our King and our Master and our Savior. That is the only way that we can have any hope in this life is trusting in Jesus Christ. Do you agree with that this morning? We got to talk about, we're going to talk about our foundation here this morning. I've asked the Lord to get me out of the way, to get you guys out of the way, and let His Spirit speak with our spirits. We know how we get in the way. Our mind thought process gets in the way. I'm asking you and me for us to submit to God's Word here this morning and the truth that lies therein. I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here. I'm thankful for when the Holy Spirit takes over. I'm going to be reading out of Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Some will be familiar with that, maybe not, but it's going to speak, who are true Christians? Who are true Christians? Let that resonate in your mind a bit while you're finding the scripture. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. Everybody hearing okay right now? You, Ron, you hearing? I'll try to keep it turned up for you, brother. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 through 26. If y'all would stand in honor of God's Word as we read. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the Word to none but unto the Jews only. Verse 20 says, and some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And that Grecians is Greek, that's Gentiles. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was at in Jerusalem, and they set forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith. And much people were added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you again for your word that's open here before us. We ask that our hearts be open to receive the word you have for us, the message. May the Holy Spirit have free reign in this building right now, Lord God. And you'll move upon us, move upon those maybe hearing by radio, wherever they may be. We ask, Lord God, right now, for you just to miraculously control each and everything that's said and done right here, right now. We praise you right now. We worship you. We ask God now, just be with our pastor as he is away from us for a bit. We just ask you just bless and move upon him, his family, and his ministry. And I do again ask for you to forgive me in these favors in Christ's name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Be seated if you will. Appreciate it. But talking about being Christians. We know as we read that scripture that the word was spread. Who spread the word? Believers spread the word. Now, that's going to take me right back to when I first discovered a Strong's concordance, and I looked up the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that those that believe." Well, I remember thinking, believe. Well, that's just a simple thing. No, it's not. In the description, description in the Strong's, in the original language, that word means to be committed to. And what is committed to? What's that mean to you? We see it's not in our society today, commitment's not what it used to be. Commitment is not what it's supposed to be. Committed is not what the Scripture says it is to be. So that takes me right back to a time when I was talking to a good friend of mine, many years ago, and it was before I learned about the Strong's Concordance, and he says, "Well, I believe, so I must be all right." And I had no argument with that because I didn't know that the word believe in that text, and I've discovered in all the texts in the New Testament, is to be committed to. Do you know what it means to be committed? Committed. Committed. Think about that. We see commitments in marriage that are very lax today. We see commitment in our job responsibilities to be very lax today. We see commitment in our church attendance, our church services, very lax today. Well, I'm committed. Yeah, I go to church once a month, maybe. You know, and I'm just throwing that out there because it's way deeper than your church attendance. But it represents your commitment to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So who are the true Christians? I know some denominations say they're the only ones that are real Christians. I know some denominations say anybody is a Christian. I wrote down here, because you run into a lot of folks in this world today. You hear it on, "Well, I'm a Christian." But are you? "I'm a Christian." "Well, how'd you be a Christian?" "Well, I don't know. I just said I was a Christian. I got a necklace. It says, got a cross. I got a t-shirt. I wear a t-shirt. I wear it while I'm fishing. I wear it all the time. Close. Tells everybody I'm a Christian." They'll see you're a Christian from what comes out. They'll see you're a Christian from how you act. They'll see you're a Christian at how you respond, how responsible you are, and that's where your commitment is. And Christianity begins at not saying I'm a Christian, not claiming to be a Christian. Christian begins when we accept and admit who God is. Okay? Who God is. And I know a lot of people, good people, know who God is. But they've never accepted. They've never made a commitment. I was just talking recently with a good friend about an acquaintance both of us might have that is a great guy, great person. You probably you all probably know a person that way, but they're lost and undone and on their way to hell. Because why? Because they're not committed to Christ. They know. They even believe. But they're not committed. And then we got to go with who I am. Who are you right now? Who are you? Now dig deep. This goes deeper than the flesh, deeper than what we wear, what we drive, where we work, who we know, and all this stuff. Who are you? Didn't the Bible say, "There's none righteous, no, not one"? Huh? It says that, doesn't it? It says that. It says, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. So when I accept God's word and admit who I am, that's pointing me towards becoming a Christian. Not just saying, well, I'm a Christian. We'll get it into a little more depth here shortly. Something else was thinking about, you know, what sets Christianity aside in the world view of all the religions that we hear about, we know about, and some we don't even know about. Not one of them requires the born-again experience. Not one. We're going to learn here in a bit. Jesus himself. Now, you know who Jesus is? Everybody know who Jesus is. Know what he's done. Know what he says. Know what his purpose in all eternity is, was, and is going to be. Jesus says this. Who is not a Christian? Okay. And we all need to look deep inside ourselves. Who is not a Christian? And it's pretty simple. If you have not been born again, you are not a Christian. That's according to God's word. That's not according to Jamie. That's not according to a denomination. That's not according to anything but God's word. Jesus says you must be born again. What does he say? You can wear the clothes and act the act, but if it's not deep inside, if it's not in your heart, you are not a Christian. I seen a Spurgeon or which one, but an article a while back about Christianity, about how many people in this world today think they're a Christian when they've never been born again. And they're not. Isn't that scary? Isn't that scary? And we all may know somebody like that. There may be somebody here today like that. That, yeah, man, I went to church my whole life. My grandpa was a preacher. My mom took us to church. You know, I could tell that story. Rodney could tell that story. Lucinda could tell that story. Jeffrey could tell that story. Our children could tell that story. But until I had the born-again experience, I was not a Christian. I may have looked like one, I may knew the words, but if you saw me in the dark alleys, you knowed I wasn't. And I knew I wasn't. Till that convicting power of the Holy Spirit burnt within my heart one day. I remember on Tucker's Creek Road in my truck, brand new truck, had a job, had a pocket full of money, had a full tank of gas. Man, I had it made. And John Arnold said, you're lost without Jesus Christ. Faith is the key. And I got saved. And I got saved. And I got saved. But I'm going to read one scripture here. Matthew 25, and we've all heard it, but let's hear it from this perspective, is who is a Christian? Matthew 25, 41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. If you think you're a Christian here today and you've never had that born-again experience, that should motivate you to seek Christ right now, to seek the Holy Spirit, to welcome Him in, to ask Him to stir your heart one more time that I might avoid a hell that was prepared for the devil and his angels. That you could come to know Christ right now and you can know that you are saved. Because those who says, then shall he say unto them on the left, depart from me, ye cursed. Verse 42 says, for I was hungered and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger and ye took me not in, naked and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, when saw we thee hungry, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, or did not minister unto thee? And Jesus says, then shall he answer them, saying, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. So, if you're at a crossroads, which I'm going to draw a scenario, if you're at a crossroads, well, I choose heaven over hell. Well, that's not the way it works. If there's preachers preaching that's wrong. You're born on your way to hell. The Bible says we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now, we can get into the age of accountability, and because I know that God take that little feller home. But there'll come a time when he'll know, which we've all been there, when we knew we were lost and undone. A true Christian has been born again. Who a Christian is? John chapter 3. Now, everybody's familiar with a lot of the verses there, but we're going to hear what Jesus says to one of the smartest men of the time, one of the leaders of the law, one of the religious leaders in the Jewish realm, one of the Pharisees. But apparently, Nicodemus was looking at a little beyond. He saw something in Jesus. And he inquired. Now, he did it secretly because he didn't want his cohorts to know what he was doing, that he was mingling with this guy that hung around with sinners. But he's talking to Jesus, and he says in chapter 3, verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, and he was a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So you can see Nicodemus is recognizing a little bit about Jesus, that he knows that he's from God. Jesus entered and said, verily, verily. Now this is before Nicodemus even asked the question. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Is that pretty clear to everybody? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It's pretty clear. We'll talk about a minute about being born again. Nicodemus said unto him, thinking with the human mind, with a worldly mind, with a fleshly mind, as the world does today, as we did before we were saved, and sometimes it gets in the way, and we still do. But Nicodemus said unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? How can he enter a second time in his mother's womb and be born? Now, we all know that is impossible. It's impossible. They can't undo what's been done. He can't. I can go right into that right now. I can never change who my mom and dad is. I had no input in the decision whether I was a man or a woman. I had nothing in it. And didn't even know it to probably, what, 2 or 3 years before you even remember anything. And you can't undo that, and you can't do it over. Right? Physically impossible. So Jesus answers, says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, the flesh, and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh." We all know that. This is flesh. Like it or not, this is what we are. "And that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's our spiritual birth. What he's talking about, being born again, being born spiritually. "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." Because how does the human mind comprehend that? Verse 8. "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." It's hard for a human mind to comprehend the spiritual birth. Nicodemus answered and said, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness." He's talking about, he's telling them the truth. He's telling them the facts, the things that have actually happened, the healings, the miracles, the virgin birth. And all this was preluded in the Old Testament that it was coming. And they knew that because they were still locked into the Old Testament law. Verse 12, "If I told you earthly things and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man has ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." And he was talking about putting on the cross. If you'll remember in the Old Testament, the Israelites was whining and complaining about something, and if they got bit by this certain, they would die, and they had to build an altar and put a serpent up on it, and they had to go and look up to it. And he's talking about right now, for us to be born again, we got to crawl to the base of the cross. That's where spiritual life begins, is at the base of the cross. That's where salvation begins, at the base of the cross. Verse 15, "That whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life." And everybody knows the next verse, but I want to focus on believeth in him. And there again, there's that key word, believeth, and that is to be committed to. Do you believe Christ died and rose again this morning? Do you believe he come down from that cross and ascended, and he is sitting on the right hand of the Father making intercessions for you and me? Do you believe that this morning? Yes. Because why? Because it's in his word. Because it is being revealed to us through the Holy Spirit. Our hearts are stirred. If you're here this morning and maybe not a Christian, maybe you're lost, but something's going on inside of you right now, that is the Holy Spirit stirring within you. And you need to respond today because you may not have tomorrow. I worked with a good friend I'd went to high school with. Worked with him at Ames, and he talked to me one day. He wasn't a Christian, But his wife went to church, and he had been going with her. And he asked me one day, he said, I was at church with these folks. And he said, they was testifying. And he said, something was inside of me telling me to stand up. I said, that's the Holy Spirit. And why did he not know who it was? Because he wasn't informed of who it was. He wasn't informed of what was happening. If the Holy Spirit is dealing with your heart right here, right now, today, today is the day of salvation. Amen. Don't put off until tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. Amen. Don't leave yourself hanging that you may be one of those that's, oh, I went to church. I was at church at Drift Run. Jamie was preaching, blah, 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 blah. But I didn't get saved. I'm not born again. And he's going to say, depart from me, ye cursed, for I never knew you. That's the Bible, folks. That's not Jamie making stuff up. He's smart enough for that. But anyways, and I wrote down, just thinking about John 3:16. How much emphasis is put on things that is not real? We know they're not real, but we teach them to our kids that they're real. And it's in the church. I hope everybody knows what I'm talking about. So much of that goes on. You need to rethink that. All of us do. Verse 11, or chapter 11, verse 25 in the book of John. Greg read this scripture earlier. He was responding to Martha, saying, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, there's that word again, committeth in me, though he were dead, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We were considered spiritually dead. That's harsh. No, it's not. That's truth. That's Bible truth. And we got to know the truth. Though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believeth you this? Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that you have to go through Jesus Christ to ascend to heaven, to have an opportunity in a relationship with God? It's through Jesus Christ. The scriptures, that's not something new. That's been taught since Jesus, it's been taught since the Bible was written, that Jesus was going to be the Messiah, and he was going to come and make a way that we couldn't make. He was going to do what we couldn't do. John 14:6. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That is a true Christian. If you're trusting in Jesus Christ, if you're committed to Jesus Christ. Verses 16 to 18 says, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. There again, the world does not, cannot, will not comprehend the Holy Spirit unless it's stirred by God himself. That's why our hearts must be stirred unto salvation. Because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. That's a true Christian. In closing, this one's in Matthew 22:37. through 40 says, Jesus said unto them, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. That's pretty complete, isn't it? That's entirely your person. That's everything that you are. Is your heart, your soul, and your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you love your neighbors? Do you love your neighbors? On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I was convicted a bit, but rejoiced because the Lord helped me to overcome. I met this young man one time. He's still in high school. He was chasing after my daughter, you know, and dads always get protective when boys is chasing after their daughters, right? All right, all men agree with that. You will. You will. So, well, we're there with Mandy. I think she's playing a flute or whatever that. Clarinet. Yeah. And she's in the band. We're picking her up after football game, and here comes this long-haired, hippie-looking little feller. It was immediate. I don't like that guy. I don't like that guy. Well, to this day, I love that guy. And no, they didn't last very long, whatever. But we got to know one another through motorcycles, whatever, and to know his person that I looked, was able to look beyond. He was on the wrestling team, I think, at the time, and we went and watched him wrestle. And he was such a good, he was just different, okay? He was just different. But he liked hunting and fishing, but he liked working on stuff. And he was different than me. But he passed away recently. He's 41, 42. Going after the old man, huh? But anyways, he had traveled with me racing bikes a little bit, but he liked working on them more than riding them. But he had come to know Jesus as his Savior. And he got brain cancer and passed away recently. And my heart rejoiced, but I was saddened because of what I had done those years ago based on an appearance. So who's your neighbor? That boy was my neighbor. And I shunned him and I rejected him. And maybe it was because he was after my daughter, but he didn't fit the mold that I had in mind. But he was a fine young man. Grew up married, had kids, good job, and worked hard. And he was one of those guys that would take his obituary actually said he rode mountain bikes. And he was always determined to finish anything he started. And you could tell, I could see that looking back now in his wrestling. He never gave up. But they said he was leading the race and something broke on his bike. And a little bit later, they see him running through the woods carrying his bike. And he finished the race carrying his bike. And I think now he finished the race. He's in the presence of his Heavenly Father right now. That's the commitment that I'm talking about this morning. That's being a born again, bought by the blood, trusting in the works of the cross unto salvation. That's a Christian. Now, I don't know where you're at right here this morning, but I hope you're asking yourself, I hope you're examining 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. I had a lot of scripture marked. 1 Timothy 2, verses 5 and 6 says, For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in that time. Is that where your trust is at right now? That's where a true Christian's trust is at. That's where your heart is at. That's where your commitment is at. Because of all He's done, motivates us to do what we need to do to witness, to bring honor, to bring praise, to bring glory to Jesus Christ, to share the gospel in Antioch, to share the gospel in Cyprus, to share the gospel in Cyrene, to share the gospel in Ripley and Ravenswood and Elizabeth and all around us, in your homes, in your communities. Doesn't run her off. Romans 10:9, and I'll be closing. That's Romans 10:9. We've heard this many times, but listen to it from the perspective of commitment, the perspective of Christianity, Dad. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, anybody here this morning that is lost, listen closely to what Paul is telling in his letter to the Romans, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's admitting right there who you are. And that's admitting that God is who He is, and I'm crawling to the base of the cross. For with the heart man believes. You can say words, but until it's in your heart that you believe it fully and completely, that's the beginning of the born-again experience. And with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. I confess that I am a sinner. I confess I am lost and undone. I confess that I have no way to heaven. I confess that God is who God says He is. He is the I Am. And that He came in the form of His Son, Jesus Christ, and He hung on that cross and He did the sacrifice for me. Not because I wanted Him to, not because I asked Him to, but because He loved me. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. A true Christian is not ashamed of the gospel. For there is no difference between a Jew and Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever, are you a whosoever today, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And in closing, if you guys want to get a song ready, I wrote down talking about a hope, because to me, salvation, all salvation is beyond my comprehension. But the greatest comfort I receive from salvation is that hope that I have, that hope that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had. And it was the hope that God would deliver them, whether it be through the fire or deliver them to heaven. We're in a win-win situation if you're a Christian here today. When folks, I hear this a lot, you say, how you doing? Well, I'm above the grass. Well, you're worse off than if you're on the other side of the grass, if heaven is your home. Don't you agree with that? Death is not a tragedy. Going to hell is a tragedy. Come, be born again. If you're not saved here today, come. And ask Jesus.